T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Now for Laird and Fitzy, Ken Laird and Nick Fitzy Stevens, right here on EEI.
All right, I'm Rob Bradford, in for Ken Laird. He's on assignment, digging up some scoops somewhere, no doubt. Nick Fitzy Stevens is, of course, in his usual spot on the Kendrick Perkins throne or coffin, whatever that is. I think it's more of a coffin than a throne, feel like.
It's a multi-purpose rest area.
But I just want to say, Fitzy, I really enjoyed your column this week on WEI.com. Armchair GM, new series. I'm very, very excited. Today, or this week, was the first installment. Armchair GM, because everyone's an armchair GM, and you are no different, but you also are probably more passionate than most. And this week, it was breaking down, how are we going to get the quarterbacks?
Yes, sir.
And so I had promised before the break, and you can go through some of the names that you mentioned, but I love doing the whole who would rather trade, this trade, who would rather. I just love it. I love it. People love it. People like talking about it. With basketball, it's a little different because you have to go through the ESPN trade machine to figure out if it works financially. NFL, you don't have to do that. Now, okay, before I give you these, they both involve the Patriots' first pick in the draft this year, number 15th overall. And before anyone says anything about, well, they would never trade that, remember, and I know it's not number, it wasn't number 15, but Brandon Cooks, they traded a number one for a wide receiver, right? Correct?
Yes, they did. One of the many times, as we've heard forever, Belichick never gave Brady any weapons. Really?
A number one in
2017, and then again a number one in 2019.
Correct. And so they used a number one to help solve their problem. So don't think that they won't do that. And how did Cooks had 2 years left on his contract, right? Didn't he?
Yes, he did. And then they actually spun him for kind. They actually were able to spin him for more when they sent him to the Rams.
Okay. So that said, don't think that they wouldn't do it again. To get their piece, the piece that they need so desperately. In that case, Tom Brady said, give me weapons, give me weapons. So here's your weapon, Brandon Cooks. The quarterback is obviously the thing that they need the most. We've, as you point out eloquently in your piece, Armchair GM, there are many, many ways he can get this quarterback. So, first trade proposal. And I know what you're going to say, but I'm going to say it anyway. I put up a poll on it. It was about 70-30.
Okay.
It was Sam Darnold for the number one pick.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot to pay. Now, I know Darnold was a number one, but don't you think, and, you know, Robert Saleh, the new head coach of the Jets, I can't believe we live in a world, Bradfo, where Tom Brady's playing for someone else on division weekend, and the Jets actually make a smart move from the front office down. Great hire for them. They want to introduce a tone setter and change the way the organization is run. They just hired the tougher-than-nails guy to do it. But he said that they're going to stick with Darnold probably for one more year, or at least that's what the thinking is. Why would you need to spend a first for somebody else's first that to date has kind of been teetering on bust? I think he can be had for a third.
On the face, I wouldn't disagree with you, but I don't think the Jets would ever give up Darnold, a guy that they obviously, like you said, invested so much in initially for a third-round pick, even with all his struggles. I would ask this. Is that Mac Jones is a name that's circulating. You don't, at number 15, you don't think that you're going to get one of those top four guys. Maybe you do.
Nope. Doesn't not going to get way. My crush, Zach Wilson. You're not going to get my draft crush. He's going to be long gone.
You're not going to get Trey Lance. You're not going to get Newsflash. You're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. You're not going to get Justin Fields.
Nope. Sorry, sorry, McShay. You're not going to get Justin Fields.
So this jump to Mac Jones, the sculpted Mac Jones. And
body by Bradford. Bradford, you must look like Lou Ferrigno compared to him.
One of us has reached full muscle capacity. And it's not the quarterback from Alabama. So Mac Jones, I would ask this. Who would you rather have? Who would you utilize that 15th overall pick for, Mac Jones or Sam Darnold? I think that's a good conversation.
How much of Sam Darnold have you seen that's impressed you today?
No, that not would a make lot. You think
yeah, you're lying.
No, I said how much you've seen. I've seen a lot, but not. Then you went on to say how much has impressed me. Not a lot, but Mac Jones mm-hmm. has had better in the last 2 years. Mac Jones has had better weapons and a better coach than Sam Darnold. Correct.
Correct. Yes. Yes, he has.
Yes.
So you could go back to the, so now here we revisit once again the what would he do with you know the what if-ism of sports radio. That's what we do. We play radio. How would Cam Newton have been if he this year, let's say, had the weapons that they had in Cincinnati, but they had garbage, you know, god-awful quarterback play once Joe Burrow went down? Who knows? Probably a little bit better, but that's just for playing radio. Mac Jones, how does Sam Darnold look in Alabama? Amazing. How does Mac Jones look on the Jets? Probably pretty awful.
But how does Sam Darnold look with the Patriots, with Josh McDaniels? Because we know he's going to be here now.
I have never been. I liked watching him at USC just because I'm a college football fan, but I never thought he was something. Now, I was wrong on Matt Barkley. I thought Matt Barkley could have been a good pro quarterback, and he just didn't have it. And I'm starting to wonder now if USC quarterbacks are like Alabama quarterbacks, the product of the talent around them. That's always been Christian Fourier's thing, is that he beats on that drum all the time. Alabama quarterbacks only look so good in college because they're surrounded by world-class, elite, next-level talent. I mean, Bradfo, both of us probably could have been nominated for the Heisman if we were thrown to Waddle and Devonta Smith and had Najee Harris coming out of the backfield. My word.
You know, and one of the things regarding Mac Jones, and I can't let this slide, Mike Lombardi, my great friend, Mike Lombardi.
Oh, besties forever. Goodness. He accepted your friend request?
The only person, I'm the only one at this station who actually wants to get in an argument with him, evidently. So, Mike Lombardi was on once again, and instead of yelling at him for criticizing our entire station, they chose to talk about Mac Jones. And this is what he said about Mac Jones.
Look, I saw the picture of Mac Jones smoking a cigar after he won the contest. That guy needs a map to the weight room. Like, seriously, that he'd never been in a weight room.
That was
the most discouraging picture I have ever seen as a personnel evaluator.
What about Brady?
What
about Brady's draft picture? Hey,
different world. Combine. Different world now. Different world, different time.
But I'm just talking.
We were never into that kind of off-season training when Brady came out. It wasn't that way back then.
So realistically, who is it? What do they do? Do they trade up? Do you like Zach Wilson? Do you like Trey Lance?
I love Zach Wilson. I think Zach Wilson could be a great player. I don't know enough about the backgrounds. See, most of these guys, you got to understand
like
their backgrounds.
50. He's okay. He's probably Mormon, yeah, so he's probably about 28.
I don't think that's the case, but it doesn't
probably
really matter.
Probably got five kids.
Hey, look, maybe, you know, there's a trade to be worked out. Maybe Gruden wants to maybe Gruden wants to go with Mariota, and he'll trade Derek Carr. Would you want Derek Carr? I would.
All right. No,
yeah, I would.
I guess.
All right. So.
Ooh. I missed that interview, but that's where I was going to go next. Please tell me that's where your Who Says No To is going.
No.
It's not.
But we can go there. I mean, there's no limits to the Who Says No.
It's because I believe I mentioned in Armchair GM that a call between Belichick and Mike Mayock, general manager of the Las Vegas Raiders, and obviously good friend of Belichick, working in tandem with Gruden, they now have, after that amazing relief performance by Mariota, a backup they invested heavily in with Vegas. Now they have a chance to let Derek Carr's larger than advertised salary go. They could roll with Mariota, who looked awesome. Best he's looked as a pro. Best he's looked since Oregon this past season against the Chargers. You could let Carr go in a trade. You could probably get him for a second at this point just to unload the salary. Or if they still believe in Derek Carr and feel like they have a chip on their hands in Mariota, who had one hell of an audition back in December, you could probably spin him for a second or third. I would take a chance on Mariota before I took a chance on Darnold.
I was going to say we could have a third who says no. But yep. We'll get back to that. But don't ever interrupt me when I'm about to rip Mike Lombardi. It's one of my favorite things. Okay? So him saying, well, it was a different time. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are you talking about? It was a different time. Here's a news flash. They had Nautilus machines going back to Kari Yastrzemski. Guys worked out in the early 2000s, and quarterbacks were in shape. And usually when you got to the combine, they were also in shape, and Tom Brady was an outlier. That thing about, oh, well, it was a different time. Was Jamarcus Russell a different time? I mean, like, honestly, like, come on. Like, anyway, that was my I'm ripping on Mike Lombardi 10 seconds.
I appreciate it.
The second who says no. Someone that maybe you might be a little bit more willing to give up that first round pick for. It is someone that actually Lombardi mentioned. Do we have this, Bridget? Do we have that sound? My good friend Mike Lombardi on Jordan Love. This is what he said.
But Rodgers is at a different level. The best thing, the guy that might win the MVP of the league is Jordan Love. Because Jordan Love is the reason why Aaron Rodgers is so pissed off at everybody. And he's playing at such a pissed off level. It's hard to hit. It's hard. He's back to 13 level. And Jordan Love, the first-round quarterback, is sitting there on the bench, and he's not going to play for that contract. There might be a quarterback you could trade for.
Oh, okay, here we go. Here we go.
Oh.
Yes? Who says no? Who says no?
The first right now for?
The first for Jordan Love. No, okay. I'll do this. I'll even do this. The first and the fourth, because I understand the
green. I'll sweeten the pot. Sweeten that pot. Talk to me, Goose.
Listen. Let's be honest. The Patriots' most valuable draft picks are from the sixth round on into rookie free agency,
and they have to be from Michigan. Yes,
exactly.
Or they have to be UDFAs, undrafted free agents.
That's my who says no. First and a fourth for Jordan Love. Who says no?
That Bradfo, you have just struck. Is this on the site? Because
it's going on the site right after the show.
Oh my God! You want to talk about a page turner? I could count those clicks, baby. Ooh, I'll tell you right now, if I could contact the Packers and say, guys, obviously you had a Garoppolo with Brady situation here with Love and Rodgers. He's playing out of his mind. He's the MVP. Hopefully he wins today so that they don't get any further frustration. Go, oh, how come this guy can't bring it in the playoffs? Jordan Love has served a purpose. You had a first round backup for Aaron Rodgers all year. More importantly, he was an incentive. He pissed him off. He made him angry. He motivated him. And that, along with Aaron Rodgers not being in the NFL top 100 player, top 10, which every time he's not voted in there by his peers, Bradfo, he wins the MVP the next year. Those are just numbers. I'm not lying. I don't make this stuff up. So, obviously, Rodgers is now so infuriated and so dedicated that he's going to play at this level for another couple years.
Three more years.
Easily. What are you going to do? So you're going to put Jordan Love in his fifth year and let him sit on the bench for 4 years when the Patriots can say, we'll give you back the first you spent on him. We'll actually bump you up 8 slots and we'll give you a fourth so you can go take another wide receiver named Equanimeous for Aaron Rodgers.
And if you're the Patriots, why don't you do that deal?
Like, yesterday.
Unless they really are down,
I'll fly out there. I'll fly out there and I will drive Jordan Love back myself.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I got to be honest with you. I'm not sold on Sam Darnold. I'd rather have the prospect of Jordan Love every day of the week than Sam Darnold. I'm just saying I could make a case for Darnold, which is all you need to do in this medium.
Okay. Bradfo, I almost feel like maybe I'll put this up. We don't have a Laird and Fitzy show account. Maybe I'll put this up on mine.
Could you do
so
that?
So it would be, ready? It'll be a first for Darnold, a second for Carr, a third for Mariota, or a first and a fourth for Love.
Yes. So, like vote. I said, I put up earlier today, I put up the Sam Darnold one, the first round pick. Mm-hmm. And I was actually surprised it was about 70-30. Because most of the mentions are you're crazy, all Patriots fans, I get it. So then I changed it to a second round pick for Darnold, and obviously it evened off a little bit, pretty close. I don't think the Jets would do that. Honestly, I don't think they would. But I think the Jordan Love thing is scratching right where we itch, Fitzy. I think that is a great, we're going to get 10,000 votes on that baby, and boom, there it is, 50-50.
I'm in. All right, I'm going to put that up during when you trend and we go to break.
Okay, one more. Do you want to get the Oakland one? So who says no? Who says no? First round, number 15 overall for Marcus Mariota. That's what you wanted, right? That's the one?
Yeah. See, I think that's too much. Gruden's not going to sign this guy for 2 years and then think he's going to get anything he gets for Mariota. He's only signed for one more year at $7.5 million. So getting a third, if they have a decent backup or someone that they're looking to pick up in the draft, I think if they get any draft equity, and the Patriots do have a third, it's going to be the compensatory pick for Brady, and you can trade those now. I think a third for Mariota gets it done.
You do? Really?
I do. Maybe a second, because
they don't have a third, number one.
Smaller sample size, because it was only one game. Derek Carr is going to cost you more, but not that much more, because it is a hefty salary you'd be taking on board. And that's what makes me think Belichick would have more interest in a Mariota than he would in Carr because of the salary.
All right. Well, I think where we've come to, my preference in all this, as you put this up on your Twitter account, my preference is doing the Jordan Love deal, because I like the upside. I don't want to do the Darnold deal. I'm not, you know, the Mariota deal, okay, I like that a little bit better. I don't think they would do it for what you're saying. But like a lot of people, sign Fitzy, sign Fitzmagic, get Jordan, make the Jordan Love trade, boom, boom, you're on your way.
Ooh, who says no?
Who says no? All right, 617-779-7937. Fitzy's very, very excited for this coming day. This coming day and this coming days. This otherwise known as the weekend of football. The great game of football is upon us. And you are very excited, and you're going to tell me and the listeners why you're so excited. Can we power rank what excites you the most about this weekend? Would that be good?
Oh, man. You want to go top five?
Top five. We got to do a top five list.
Be ready.
We'll do that after the break, right after this.
The Greg Hill Show, morning 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now in WEEI and WEEI.com. Miles Wood update. He's gotten in a fight. Manchester by the Sea's own Miles Wood. He's gotten in a fight. He scored a goal, and he punched the guy in the face. Is that correct, Bridget?
Yeah, he sent Andre Kasha to the locker room.
He did?
Elbowed him in the head, yeah.
Wow, man, this guy... Man, somebody get a... We got to get a body on Wood.
I was telling Bradford in the break that the Bruins play the Devils 8 times this season, and that kind of could end up being, you know, an interesting thing to watch. Was he's going to get under their skin probably all 8 games.
Well, I am going to buy him a Venti Emperor's Cloud at Starbucks to calm his nerves, because obviously they're going to be frayed. And on a side note, New Jersey's beating the Bruins 1-0. Celtics won last night. You already knew this. Jaylen Brown led all scores with 21. More importantly, Taco Fall made everyone run around the arena, which, as you said, Fitzy, that was a top 10. That will be a top 10 2021 moment in December.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
1,000%.
All that was missing was them celebrating, the bench celebrating by running around the arena with the saging the whole thing. Why they were doing it, like Kyrie.
My God. I thought we were going to go the whole show without having an event.
I love Kyrie time. Anyway, NFL Divisional Weekend is upon us, and WEI is your home for all the games today right after this show. The Los Angeles Rams travel to the Green Bay Packers tonight. It's the Ravens at the Bills. Kickoff at 8:15 right here on 93.7 FM. WEI's coverage of the NFL playoffs is brought to you in part by the Massachusetts Paid Family Medical Leave Program. Brian Daboll looks to be the favorite with the Los Angeles Chargers. Rafael Devers signed a contract. And that is what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
More of what you want to hear. Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
All right, Fitzy and Laird, I'm Rob Bradford filling in for one of the two. I think it's Ken Laird. I know it's Ken Laird because Fitzy has been on point. AA+.
Oh, thank you very much, Bradford. You're doing a hell of a job yourself.
First media star.
Come on,
gift card to Ghoul's Distinctive Clothing. There you go. Marvin and Lester will welcome you with open arms.
Socially distanced open arms. By the way, I have never been to Gould's, and it sounds like a fabulous experience.
Oh, my goodness. It's like the Disneyland of clothiers.
It's
crazy.
Of ateliers.
Yes, exactly. What do you think Cam Newton got his hats?
Is that where he got them?
No. But
so you're just asking an earnest question.
Yeah, exactly.
No, Where did he get his hats?
I've been looking for one. At FitzyGFY. That's a Twitter account. So you put this up.
Mm-hmm.
Your tweet is, so Bradford and I want to know which Patriots quarterback deal you pull the trigger on, if none/other reply. A, second round for Sam Darnold. You took some liberties with mine, but that's okay. But I think that's fair. That's fair. Second round for Sam Darnold was more realistic. A second round for Derek Carr. A third round for Marcus Mariota. Or a first and a fourth for Jordan Love. Mm-hmm. I am going to vote for the number four option. Right now, the leader in the clubhouse is a second for Derek Carr.
Interesting. That's very interesting. I've already got one reply. Pat's Palm at AJPTZ1 said, any chance we can trade Gillette Stadium for Deshaun Watson?
Oh, that I by the way, I already did a Who Says No for Deshaun Watson, and as I was doing it, it's a ridiculous thing, right?
But I saw.
Yeah, but I'm sorry to denigrate the website like that, but
you
whatever.
You did nothing. Oh, Marcus Mariota has now pulled even with Derek Carr.
Oh, I know.
See, a lot of people watch that Thursday night game.
That was an audition. Lot of money. Like it's like the Matt Flynn. You make yourself
Bingo.
A lot of money. You can make yourself a ton of money with one game.
Bingo.
Right?
That's exact in one game. And for Matt Flynn, it happened to be on the famous Dan Connolly kickoff return Sunday night where he made himself some nice paper.
And the obvious guy right now who jumps to mind is Wiggy's guy, Heineken. You know?
Oh, Taylor Heineke.
Yeah.
I know. The backup for the St. Louis Battlehawks of XFL 2.0 might now not only just get an audition, a tryout at some NFL camps. He might find his way into playing time. I mean, there's not more than 12, 14 locked jobs next fall.
Fitzy,
why wouldn't you?
It is fascinating to me that whole dynamic of how much money guys can make off of such small sample size, whether it's a game, whether it's a play, whether it's a playoff, I've always said, like, for baseball, postseason, guys make so much money off the postseason. There's two guys in recent memory for the Red Sox that jump right to mind. Nathan Eovaldi gets half of the contract he does without those couple weeks. A couple weeks.
Yep.
Joe Kelly gets a 3-year contract with the Dodgers for a couple weeks. Like there's plenty. It's Pablo Sandoval, obviously another one. And smart people who are running these organizations, whether it's the owners tell them to do it or whatever, but they're saying, well, Pablo Sandoval, hey, you know what? I know he was only a 720 OPS guy, you know, 100th in all of baseball, but you know what? He performed on the big stage, and every night is the big stage in Boston, so he's going to perform very, very well. These are smart people saying these things, and they pay the money anyway. And the preeminent example, this is right in our wheelhouse, Larry Brown. And not the Larry Brown, the coach. You know who I'm talking about.
Oh, Larry Brown, the linebacker.
No, the cornerback.
Oh, the cornerback, not a linebacker. There was the linebacker for the Seahawks who got MVP of the Super Bowl where they clobbered the Broncos, who also got paid.
Yes.
Larry Brown was the cornerback for the Cowboys who intercepted Neil O'Donnell. O'Donnell, that's right. Neil O'Donnell.
Two picks. Get Super Bowl MVP, got an enormous contract from the Raiders.
And was a ghost of himself, or actually was rather Larry Brown the rest of his career.
But
Bradfoe, it's interesting you mentioned this because you just had a conversation, I believe, on Bradfoe's show.
Bradfoe Show.
Hey. And you spoke with the great Mike Lowell. He himself, beneficiary of a contract received for a postseason performance. Not just one game, but rather the postseason when we have a victory lap congratulatory contract.
Yeah, and the whole re-sign Lowell signs and everything else. And you know, I think that a part of this is owners. I think owners fall in love with these guys. Owners understand the publicity of it, the look, the perception of it. That's a big part of it. But, you know, like, let's just take Eovaldi for a second. Like, Eovaldi was a guy who not only left a really, really powerful last impression, but they fell in love with the idea of, well, if we think we do, he showed what he might be able to do. We know his track record isn't great, but he might be able to do that. And this is what we're talking about when we come back to like a guy like Mariota, right? I mean, Mariota was, before that game, we're like, you put up that poll that you just put up on your Twitter account, Fitzy GFY, like, no chance. But now, well, we saw what he might be able to do, and that's delicious.
Yeah, we absolutely did. By the way, our pal Miguel, who runs Pat's Cap, he just replied to me and to you as well. None of the above. Consider all four proposals overpays, and he's got more likes than the damn poll. Wow, how about that? I'm surprised. I would think that because to me, Bradfoe, I'd be willing to in a trade. Or even on the free agent market, and that's why I put Dak Prescott first. Of the three routes you can go in the Armchair GM column this week, you could go the trade route, the free agency route, and it's a robust draft route as well this year. And a pretty, you know, the pantry is pretty thin for free agency. But the thing is about a trade or free agency, you don't have to take the time to groom them. You don't have to wonder if they're going to become solid professionals or if they get the game of football at the NFL level, because you already know. So you're paying for not having to deal with all of that uncertainty and teach. All you got to do is basically bring him in, fit him for a jersey, have a press conference, teach him the system, which will be similar to theirs, but just a little different with some different numbers and letters. And otherwise, you rid yourself of all the anxiety and the uncertainty. That's why it's worth it. So, well, you know, a third for somebody like a Mariota seems worth it to me, because the guy showed you on television in a competitive game the Raiders needed to win, he can still play professional football.
Yeah, a couple things. And number one, you're right. And I think that goes to the whole, like, Mac Jones, Sam Darnold conversation. Sure, Mac Jones is a talented guy. That's fine. He was at Alabama. But you can't discount the fact that Sam Darnold has been playing in the NFL, getting experience, and as long as he isn't completely ruined mentally by that experience, he's still only, I think, 23 years old. There's a value to that. And so you can't discount that. And also, these aren't overpaid Fitzies. Like, these aren't overpaid, because you have to overpay for quarterbacks if you want to get the most important position in all of professional sports. Am I wrong?
No, it is. It's far and away the most important position in professional sports. What would you say, if we're going to power rank the positions in professional sports, number two would be starting pitcher, number three would probably be goalie in hockey?
I guess.
And then I don't even know where it goes, but the gap between professional starting quarterback and then all other positions in the four major sports is so far, so long, so wide. Like, there's not even anything close or remotely as important.
And that's
as
why
the starting
and that's
quarterback
why the
position.
Deshaun
that's
Watson
why that's why it deserves the premium.
Right. That's why when we talk about, I heard different, you know, obviously Wiggy came out with the 5 first round picks, and then I heard Dan Orlovsky come out with the 4 first round picks for Watson. And then I think Florio said, talking to GMs, they say you got to start with 3 first round picks. So I just threw up, okay, 3 first round picks, a second and a third or whatever. But the point is that it doesn't matter. Like, you have no chance at winning without a competent quarterback.
None. Which the New England Patriots after having been treated to far above competent, elite, if not greatest quarterback play of all time, or some of the greatest quarterback play of all time. We just saw incompetent quarterback play, no matter the talent, and especially this year, no matter the scheme, because that's what they had going for them most of all, was the coaching, the intelligence, and the scheme. No matter all of it, if you don't get good quarterback play, you're not going to win games. And please, nobody point to, yeah, but Trent Dilfer won a Super Bowl in 2000 with the Ravens. Yeah, that was probably the greatest defense in the history of the NFL. Any, either one of us under center would have probably won that Super Bowl.
It's the same thing, Peyton Manning. Yeah, it's
yeah, and Peyton Manning, the worst legitimately, the worst, statistically, the worst two performances by a quarterback in the Super Bowl ever were Peyton Manning versus the Carolina Panthers and Ben Roethlisberger versus the Seattle Seahawks. Guess what both of them got? Super Bowl rings for those performances because of their defenses. And in the other case, a little bit of the reference.
I am shocked by this poll at Fitzy GFY. Right now, the leader in the clubhouse, not by a lot, but by a little, a second for Sam Darnold. And my pick, a first and a fourth for Jordan Love in last place.
In the cellar by a good margin,
that is like, that is shocking to me.
Let me read some more of these replies. Sure. I still can't believe how many people are with Pat's cat Miguel.
I know.
All right, the kitchen sink for Watson. I'm torn between Darnold and Carr. The farm for Watson. How about a second and a fourth for Jimmy G? He is the wild card in this offseason quarterback, Chase Bradfoe, because if they decide to move on from him, either for someone else like Kirk Cousins in San Francisco, or maybe they want to draft somebody, spend a whole lot less money, and Kyle Shanahan wants to find somebody more in tune and a fit for his system, then I think you can get Jimmy G right back here, who you know Bill and Josh love. You can get him on a Teddy Bridgewater. Who says no to Jimmy G 3 for 63, like the Teddy Bridgewater?
No, game. I would do that. I'm pro Jimmy G.
Big time here too. Let's see. Jeff Gilbert says no. These choices are all terrible.
sorry, man. Tom Brady's not here anymore. Cam Newton sucked.
Brian Bayless says those deals are rhymes with the pits. Jacoby Brissett, goodbye Stidham. These are gross. I want Mac Jones. None. No. Awful.
I want Mac Jones. What are we doing?
Hold on. Somebody sent us the sighing Dr. Zaius emoji from a meme from Planet of the Apes. How about John Andrews? Hot take. Bring back Cam and take a chance on Dwayne Haskins. John, listen, if you're going to day drink on a Saturday, I celebrate it, especially maybe you're getting pumped and primed. You're getting lubed for divisional weekend football. I get you. I don't want to see Cam Newton come back. As much as I enjoyed his effort, the hats, the million-dollar smile, the awesome interviews, everything, I don't. I'm good. If maybe he can go somewhere else. Like, I think Cincinnati is his most likely landing spot, not Washington. Florio's out of his mind. Or who was it? Schefter, who thought he could get 2 for 40 with Washington? Good God. That's some medical grade stuff that Schefter left his
mind. Oh, no, that was well, you know, that was also, you know what that was that reeked of? These national guys, he didn't watch him play. Like, he didn't watch him play, honestly. Like, I heard that Schefter interview. Like, he watched him play once in a while, and he kind of paid attention. But anybody who watched him play, that would never happen. Anyway, speaking of people who they treat Cam Newton exactly like every caller who's ever called me treats me, which is, I like you personally, but you're an idiot.
Yep.
Or you suck or whatever. But you did mention the divisional round in the playoffs. We promised people your power rankings of interesting tidbits from these said divisional round games. So we're going to do that right after this.
We're right back to it. This is Laird and Fitzy on EEI.
All right, very exciting, very exciting. As we said at the beginning of the show, which is like Thanksgiving, Christmas, all rolled up into one for one Nick Fitzy Stevens. I'm Rob Bradford. And we are going to talk about why it's Thanksgiving and Christmas right now. I feel like that was such a bad intro. Like, now we are going to talk about this, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
It's College Radio Saturday here on EEI. I mean, we were just reading tweets about a quarterback poll we've put up. And by the way, Bradfoe, I thought some of the options that we posted in our Saturday afternoon Who Says No New England Patriots quarterback Twitter poll were reasonable, but people are giving us the business. I mean, they're not
realistic. That's why
we're getting our junk twisted in the scrum here in this one.
but because nobody's realistic when it comes to this quarterback situation. And we're going to find that out when they re-sign Cam Newton.
Yeah, good luck.
And they draft a seventh-round quarterback. Those are all very, very good options. And I don't want to say good options, but reasonable options, correct?
All of these are, first of all, they're all mostly reasonable, at least in the proposal. Although, again, Miguel said they're overpays, but I think they're in the ballpark of reasonable.
They're not overpays.
You can't really overpay for a starting quarterback. No. I mean, today, and coming up, and, you know, this is a little bit of a big market segue into our why we're so excited for all of the games in divisional round weekend. You know, like a starting cornerback, albeit arguably the best one in the NFL right now, Jalen Ramsey, two firsts, a third, and a starting safety. I mean, so to get a quarterback who could help turn your franchise around after one of the most dismal offensive seasons in recent memory, and you think offering a second or a third for somebody you could sign for 5 or 6 years is too much? What are we doing here?
Well,
again, more the replies just keep coming in.
Yeah, but
none.
Okay,
none of the above.
All right, here's what I would say to all those people replying, and you can just, you know, kill us all with one stone. Jimmy Garoppolo, second round pick. How is that any different? Or the fact that Cleveland was willing to give up more than a second round pick for AJ McCarron. You know, that's what it takes. That is the cost of doing business.
Yeah, and now people are talking about if Deshaun Watson were to, as he put, and he's pretty mad, obviously, because what was the quote last night, that the tweet that everyone was talking about?
It was a 2, and now it went to a 10?
Yeah, so he's pretty mad, and he wants right the hell out of Houston. Casario and Easterby Central is the last place he wants to seem to play quarterback, even though he's getting $39 million a year to be miserable. So if Watson wants out, they're talking about probably, like, if he were to go to Miami, which is a place that was mentioned in that Mort report, 2, maybe 3 first-round picks and Tua.
Right. The number 3 overall pick, Tua, and another first-round pick.
At least. That's for openers. Now, granted, this is also Deshaun Watson, who, in my estimation, is one of the 3 or 4 best quarterbacks
in the
NFL.
If I'm Miami, I do it. I do it in a heartbeat.
In a heartbeat. You've got tons of talent, and you've got still even more draft picks to come. If I'm Robert Saleh, and I just took over with the Jets, and I want to turn that franchise around, I have both first this year, a third, next year's first, and Sam Darnold on the table to start the conversation.
All right, Fitzy, let's go. Power rank, why you have to sell this. All these games are on WEI. We're very, very excited about it. The playoffs is brought to you by Massachusetts Paid Family Medical Leave Program. Everybody's thrilled that these games are on our airwaves, and for good reason. They are very interesting, but they're more interesting to you because you love this time of year more than anybody. And because of that, you are going to power rank why you think they're so interesting.
Okay, power ranking why these games are so interesting.
Are you going to do 5? Is this top 5?
We're going to go right through. Obviously, regionally, number 1, the most interesting is the Old Bowl. Tomorrow night at 6:30, the Fiber Bowl between the Tom Brady and what could be Drew Brees' final game. Drew Brees, obviously 2-0 this year against Tom Brady. Tom Brady looking to achieve more of the impossible, make it to the finals of the NFC, the championship Sunday next week, which we've argued a lot about on this very station, Bradfo. To me, not for Tom Brady. This isn't as much a referendum on him. He's been very successful this season. But the Tampa Bay experiment, Godwin's likely final season, bringing Gronk out of retirement, signing AB, doing everything that Bruce Arians said they wouldn't, all for a shot at the biscuit, which they have risked it all for. If you don't get to the NFC Championship, then to me, this season, oh, yay, we won a playoff game, our first since 2007. You beat a team with an XFL backup quarterback last week and only by 1 touchdown with a 2-point conversion. You don't make it to the NFC Championship, and it's a failure. And at the same time, he could end Drew Brees' career tomorrow night. That is a wildly watchable game. That's number 1.
And if I may interject real quick before you go to number 2, all these people who are talking about it's not going to define his season. It is going to define his season. Maybe not like totally, but it's going to define his season because of exactly what you said. If it ends with a loss against the Saints, you are left with 1 playoff win. But it was a playoff win against a crappy team with a backup quarterback. I'm sorry. It just doesn't give you what you wanted or what you expected when it came to this Tom Brady and this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team.
Yes, go ahead. Obviously, he was better than famous Jameis last season. He cut the interceptions down by 2/3. But you're going against a great coach that has an excellent defense, a cornerback that owns your best receiver, Marshawn Lattimore, always shuts down Mike Evans. If Tom Brady can elevate to a level that is greater than the coaching, greater than the defense, greater than the record and the pressure, then this is his time to shine and do what he continues to do and not just compile stats and not just look great doing it at his particular age. The number two game for me is tonight's game, 8:15, Bills against Ravens. This is the game I'm the most excited about because, quite frankly, and thank God Brian Daboll is likely going to the Chargers, although that could be a juggernaut rising in the West that shares a stadium with another team that's playing this weekend. I think this game is going to be fascinating, especially with the lake effect snow settling in. Josh Allen playing MVP-like football. Lamar Jackson, last year's MVP, who's playing his best since he got bumped by the Titans last year in the divisional round. It's going to likely snow, which means the passing games won't be as good, and that's what Josh Allen does well, but the man is a freight train, and Lamar Jackson can run like nobody else who's ever taken the ball from under center. Two forces, two young quarterbacks in the AFC that are going nowhere anytime soon. This should be an awesome game. It is a perfect Saturday night divisional round weekend game, and I cannot wait to watch.
I want to see the Bills win, and I
so
felt,
do I.
Initially,
I'm rooting outwardly for the Bills. Hello, 2021.
Yes, I'm rooting against Tom Brady, and I'm rooting for the Bills. But here's the thing: as I digest this game a little bit more, you understand the Ravens are really, really running the ball well, and the Bills, they are downing running back. They actually have to rely on Josh Allen a little bit more. And Josh Allen, I know he was okay last week, but I can't get the image of him absolutely pooping his pants last year in the biggest game. I've never seen a professional athlete have the look of fear in his face like I saw Josh Allen. And I know that that's not what he was. What he is now isn't what he was, but still. You know, to say, go get him, Josh Allen, in a snowstorm against a team that runs the ball better, I have to go with the Ravens.
I know, but Lamar Jackson doesn't want to play in that cold. I don't think he's ever played in this cold before in Buffalo. That's what's going to make it a great. I think it's decided by a field goal. I think we could be in for one of those all-time greats that
immediately deserves the NFL Films treatment.
There you go. Well, that's tonight at 8:15.
That's
by the
tonight
way.
At 8:15. Number three, actually, on my the power rankings would be tomorrow's game, 3:00. I love this Browns at Chiefs game. First of all, people are Scheim told me this yesterterday on the show. Mary Proppins, yes. The Chiefs who went 14-2, that's great, but who are the Chefs? So the Chefs went 14-2 this season, sure, haven't covered since Week 9, have been playing well below expectations and or their ability and potential. And did you know this, Bradfo, that this year Mahomes set an all-time record with 16 dropped interceptions?
Yes.
He has not been playing up to his usual unworldly self. He's been otherworldly. We all think he's the greatest quarterback in the NFL. He hasn't been playing great. And this whole, like, we're already a dynasty. It's only a matter of how many rings we're going to win. The Chiefs are due for a humbling and a reckoning. And what better way to deliver it than with these upstart Browns, who last week hung at near a 50-burger on their rivals. They finally got their, you know, Red Sox versus the Yankees in 2004 moment. And they can run the ball. Their best cornerback has never given up more than 80 yards in a game. That's Denzel Ward. That's a stingy defense they got. They get their head coach back. They are the fun. Why the hell wouldn't I root for them in the playoffs team? Browns Chiefs tomorrow. Great 3:00.
If nothing else, make yourself some money. 10-point spread.
Yeah. And if you tease them with somebody else that you like the rest of this weekend, it's an absolute guarantee. There's no chance that the Browns are going to lose by more than 15, 16, 17 points tomorrow.
That's nuts.
And lastly, it's the opener today.
Well,
Aaron Rodgers.
I wanted one last thought about the Chiefs.
Oh, please.
Just as in terms of the reality check, remember, this is a team that was almost beaten by Brian Hoyer. That's all you need to know.
And that was no fluke. I've been hearing so many times, Bradfo, well, the Chiefs, they like to turn it on when they feel like they need to. They don't even bother playing football until the third quarter. Really? They were a young Huku missed kick by the Falcons in week 16 away from that game going to it would have gone to overtime, or actually that kick may have even helped the Falcons beat them that day. They're not playing down to their competition. They're just caught in this malaise, and I want to see if they can snap out of it. Now, if they win tomorrow, let's say they do throttle them and it's 38-10, then shame on us, and they were obviously just saving it to the postseason, sandbagging it the rest of the way. I don't think that's the case, and I would love to see the Browns pull off the upset or keep it close long enough to set up what I would like to see most, which is Bills Chiefs next week. All today's right. game, the 4:30 game, that's number four.
All right, the last one, Jordan yep. Love versus Blake Bortles.
Who says no?
Who says no?
Who said get your popcorn ready? I have a weird feeling. I got a weird feeling this morning. Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey, who are two of the five best players, defensive players in the NFL right now, are playing possessed, otherworldly, out of their minds. I have a feeling, I'm not going to call the upset, but there's a chance. There's a legitimate chance. Now, Aaron Rodgers, can he continue this magic ride? Is this his year? Will he and Brady set up the NFC Championship we all want to see the most next week, having Tampa Bay travel to the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field and take on Aaron Rodgers? I don't know. It should be... For this one to be the fourth best game on the weekend, that tells you how good and how compelling the rest of the matchups are. And number five is just your good excuse, another reason in the middle of the winter to pack on weight, eat your favorite food, drink your beers, and enjoy yourself from a socially acceptable distance.
There you go. And there's no better lead into this whole experience than this show right here. And you got one more segment in you before you prep for the big game.
That's right.
Correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. When we come back, there's one thing, and it's sort of baseball related. You had mentioned about the podcast. I mean, everyone knows. I dropped the podcast just the other day, Mike Law. But one of the things he talked about, I think it sort of stretches throughout all the sports and all the sports teams in this town. He had talked about why guys might not be coming to Boston. Obviously, the Red Sox are sitting there leading the league in interest in everybody, but losing out on everybody, lost out on two more guys to the Yankees yesterday. But I think this stretches to the Patriots, to a certain extent, the Bruins and the Celtics. What he had to say and why it should send shivers down your spine when it becomes to getting premier free agents to Boston right after this.